You guys ready?
Yes.
Okay. All right, we're on the record now. For the record, my name is Richard Steves. I'm the appointed special magistrate by the Hernando County Value Adjustment Board for this hearing, which is going to pertain to petition number 2021-131. Petitioners, would you state your names, please, for the record?
Sarah Dance with Ryan.
Marcus Capuano with Ryan.
Okay, property appraisers?
Melissa Cullen.
Kevin Johnston.
Okay, Mr. Capuano, Ms. Dance, I know you've been through this process before. Do you have any questions for me before we get started about VAB process or my role?
No, we do not.
No, okay. Let's go ahead and swear everyone in. Please raise your right hand. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth regarding the testimony you're about to give?
I do.
I do.
I do.
I do.
Okay. Ms. Cullen, you can go ahead and read the parcel number and value and present your evidence, please.
Okay, there is a packet for you sitting up there on the counter.
Okay, thank you.
The parcel number is R30-22218-2807-0010-0000. The just assessed and taxable value is $67,734,332. Starting on page one of my packet is the property record card. And this is a hospital property, and I'll get into a little bit more detail about that in a second. On pages 20 and 21 are aerial photographs. On pages 22 through 29 are photographs, exterior photographs. On page 30 is the beginning of my case synopsis. This property is owned by HCA Health Services of Florida, Inc. It's located in Brooksville in the northeast quadrant of Cortez Oaks Boulevard and Cortez Boulevard. It currently has frontage and access from Cortez Boulevard. There will be future additional access off of Cortez Oaks Boulevard. It's zoned PDP-OP, office professional, for a hospital medical use. Has 96 acres. The data value is January 1st of 2021. You will turn to page 31. What I have done is given a summary of each building and the description of it, showing the building name, the type of the building, the year built, effective age, the number of floors, construction, and the leasable and gross square footage. Just so you're aware, the hospital consists of structures 1 through 6, which are a 6-floor hospital structure. Structure 7 is a maintenance building that's a warehouse. Structure 10 is a finance office and education training center that's two manufactured buildings. Structure 11 is a warehouse that is a chiller building. Structure 12 is the north tower of the hospital that has 5 floors. Structure 13 is the Oak Hill Conference Center, which is a medical office building. Structure 14 is the Nature Coast Medical Pavilion, which is a professional office building that was constructed in 2020. Beginning on page 32 through 34, is a caption from our system showing the finalized permits and their values for the hospital property, as well as the open permits and their values. This is not written in there, but I wanted to give this to you verbally. In 2019, they finalized $251,900 in permits for remodeling. In 2020, they finalized $21,022,141 in permits. In 2021, thus far, they have finalized $8,681,654 in permits. And they currently have in open permits $17,913,488. And I basically just got those totals from these pages.
Okay.
Just so you're kind of aware, we have three hospitals in the county. Oak Hill is, in my opinion, and probably if you would ask most people in the area, the nicest hospital. The other two hospitals are Brooksville and Spring Hill hospitals. This is a private hospital, and it has been growing extensively over the years. They've been doing a lot of building. They have opened up a huge parking lot. When you go there, you do have to usually take a golf cart to get to the front. They are, I know, in the process of redoing their emergency room and the emergency room entrance. Further to the west of it is a brand new subdivision with an assisted living facility, and the agreement was when that came about that they would be opening up Cortez Oaks Boulevard and putting a light there, and they're going to eventually be closing off the current entrance to the hospital off of 50 for that reason. Now, if you will turn to page 44 and 45, I completed a cost approach. I will say I had a very difficult time finding land sales in this county and surrounding counties that were upwards of 96 acres. So I used sales all in Hernando County that ranged in size from 8.8 to 22.5 acres. That sold from October of 2018 up to May of 2020. On page 45, you can see that I made market conditions adjustments. I considered location, visibility and access, size and shape, and zoning. And my range in value per usable acre is $73,561 up to $221,835. And I arrived at a value at the lower end of the range at $100,000 per usable acre for $9.6 million for the land. Beginning on page 48 through page 50 is a cost approach. You can see that kind of how I laid out my summary of the different structures and the different structure types. I completed the cost approach in the same manner. I looked at the base building cost for the various structure types, and I took into consideration the story adjustment if I needed to make one, an HVAC or AC adjustment, or any sprinkler adjustments, and arrived at an adjusted base building cost. Then I looked at the various multipliers and came to a building improvement cost per square foot. If you turn to the next page, you can see that my total building improvement cost came to $87,433,997. I then added in the site improvement, or what we call features. And after I totaled the building and site improvement costs, I came to $89,143,183. On page 50, you can see that I included 3% for miscellaneous fees or indirect and soft costs. And then I included an 8% entrepreneurial incentive, for a total replacement cost of $99,162,877. Below that, I used a 40-year life for the building and a 15-year life for the site improvements. I used an effective age of 21 years for the building, like an average age for overall for the buildings, and a 10-year effective age for the site improvements. And I deducted the total depreciation for depreciated value of the improvements of $70,209,762. After I added in the land value, I came to $79,809,762. Now, if in my addendum are the property record cards for the land, the cost approach pages, some legal information, and my credentials. And then if you go to the page 110 of my packet and turn to the following page after that,
okay,
you're going to see an HCA Healthcare year-end December 31st, 2019 financial statements.
Mm-hmm.
These are not numbered, I apologize, but it would be, it's the 27th page in there, and we're looking for the balance sheet showing Oak Hill Hospital.
Okay, I see it.
Okay, so for year end 2019, you can see it's kind of the second section down, the property and equipment at cost that was filed for Oak Hill Hospital. You can see their land value, their and their building values. Now, the entity that provides this information is out of Tallahassee. This is public record. They did not have the December 31, 2020 information to me by the time I had to submit this evidence. So I'm going to provide that verbally.
Mr. Steves, can we object to that since we haven't seen it?
She can testify to it. That's fine. If you have something.
So for 2020, it's laid out in the same manner. The land is $8,922,478. The building, $86,523,548. The construction in progress, $7,268,852. And that is all I have for right now.
All right. Go ahead, Mr. Capuano.
All right. So this is, again, for the Oak Hill Hospital. This is located, let's see, got the in Brooksville, on Cortez, on 11375 Cortez Boulevard. We've utilized on the first page here, you'll see the county value of $67,734,332. And our summary of valuation is based on mainly the cost approach, where we arrived at a requested value of $53,131,000. On the second page, you'll see a summary of our evidence that we provided. The pages following are the property record card. So let me skip through these as the county has done a good job in presenting the location here. So that'll lead us to page 22 of our package. On page 22, you'll see a site aerial of the property, as well as page 23 shows photographs from the property. We did a site tour, and these were from that site tour. So you'll see the condition of the main building, the main tower of the hospital. In the second photo down on the left, there's a lot of water issues on the external part of the hospital. And then on the following page, we've provided some photographs as well of the inside of the hospital. As well as, these are photographs of site plans. The second row down on the right-hand side, as well as the third row down on the left-hand side, you'll see photographs of the shell space for that building built in 2020, and that was there when we went last month. So it was presented in front of the building. On page 25, you'll see some additional external or photographs of the building, and on the top left, you'll see that shell space as well, as still shell space as of last month. So page 26, I'm going to go ahead and just read in these bullet points. So the healthcare margins have always been thin, and most hospitals were already losing money on operations. The median margin is 3.5%. When COVID-19 emerged, hospitals had to stop all but most urgent non-COVID care. Medical, Medicaid recommended canceling elective procedures to limit exposure, control spread, and conservative resources. Dramatic slowdown in patient volume and revenue throughout 2020, with expenses remaining high, so it caused dramatic slowdown. There was 90% of respondents to NIC and NREI investor survey report on average increase in COVID expenses of 9.2%, and 57% of hospital owners anticipate a permanent increase in expenses due to the virus. Healthcare systems across America have losses of over $300 billion in 2020. This is unrecoverable for most facilities. COVID-19 had the biggest impact on occupancy rates. There was a 19.5% decline in inpatient volume, 34.5% decline in outpatient volume. 30% of hospitals surveyed 30% of hospitals surveyed report that they never expect to return to the baseline volumes. Healthcare has dramatically changed over the last few decades. Modern hospitals have higher finishes, and appealing aesthetics, technological advances built into the equipment and OR rooms, larger patient rooms, et cetera. Due to the impact on the healthcare market, we are asking for an external or economic obsolescence adjustment. External obsolescence definition is a temporary or permanent impairment of the utility or saleability of an improvement or property due to negative influence outside the property. Economic obsolescence may result from adverse market conditions. Because of its fixed location, real estate is subject to external influences that usually cannot be controlled by the property owner, landlord, or tenant.
Right, so just to further submit, just in layman's terms, obviously the hospital had to shut all their outpatient and inpatient surgeries down. That's where their main revenue is driven from, are these surgeries, both in and outpatient. So with COVID, they had to shut all those down for weeks or months at a time, as every surge came through. So that's economic obsolescence that was impacting the revenue of the property of the hospital. They were slammed with the NICU, but that for COVID, but that's not any revenue driving factors for the hospital. It's not where they make any revenue off of. And therefore, during that, they couldn't place these COVID patients in the other surgery rooms. So that was just sitting vacant for majority of the year, all these other rooms that individuals would recover from, all the recovery rooms. So there was significant vacancy due to these factors. Okay. And when we have page 27 is a study that we provided, which calculates that obsolescence. I'll let Sarah just run through it a high level, and then if we have any questions, Mr. Steves, we can run through it, drill it down.
Sure, so this shows a percentage change from 2019 to 2020, and the you'll see the outpatient and total surgeries, the inpatient surgeries declined 14%. The outpatient surgeries also had a decline, and outpatient visits declined 12%. You can also visually see, I guess, from 2018 to 2019 that generally trends increase, but due to COVID, there's been significant a decline in where they're generating their most of their revenue. Was there anything you wanted to add?
Yes, the only thing that the property, they added beds in 2020. However, as mentioned, a lot of those beds sat vacant for the most of the year due to the COVID restrictions. You can see the revenue dropped significantly from 2018 to 2019. Well, we saw an increase from 2018 to 2019. And then it went from about $240 million is the revenue codes for year in 2019 down to $207 million. Which, as calculated there, shows about 12% obsolescence adjustment downwards due to the impact COVID had on the revenue lines there. Is there any questions you have there, Mr. Steves?
Are they bouncing back this year? I mean, do you know what the numbers look like this year at all?
No, we don't have that data right now.
All right.
Pretty straightforward on following, though?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Go ahead.
I'll let them finish.
Okay.
And then, so on page 28, this is just a list of capital expenditures. When we were on site, that the
This is capital expenditures from both HCA's corporate tax group, and then also when we did our site visit from the engineer on site. So these are wishful projects that need to be done, but they don't have the capital or the time for these to be done. So one, as mentioned, modernization. This is a relatively old property. As you know, a lot of these newer hospitals have larger patient rooms, have larger hallways, so more of the beds can run through. And this is more of a more narrow hallway. The rooms are smaller, so less individuals can be in the rooms. So one would just be a modernization to update the interior and exterior of $10 million. Radiology lab is outdated. That would take $1 million rounded to update that lab. Air handlers, these are also original. There's 11 in total. Those would also need to be replaced, which is $2.75 million. And then modernization of the equipment. Obviously, technology is advancing far faster than we can catch up with. So this is still a lot original, if not mid-2000s technology. So that would have to be updated throughout the entire property of $2 million. And then a few others that they don't have any cost quotes on yet. Water softener, blowers are overworked, chillers are old, boilers are older, and then roadway due to erosion. And then they're looking for a new lab as well. So the total estimated cost of cure of the current property is approximately $17,800,000 rounded. And then also they're looking at expansion. You want to cover the expansion?
Sure. So they actually are currently, as mentioned previously, they're under construction for and to expand the ER facility, which isn't scheduled to be complete until 2022 or potentially even 2023. And then there's also discussions of potentially adding an additional tower, which is still under talks, from my knowledge. So this just sort of gives you a visual on maybe more issues that arise or have arisen with the property. And then we'll continue on to, and I guess I want to make a note at the bottom that the renovations would require, downtime as well when adding these expansion of the ER and everything there. You obviously have downtime for revenue there. On to the next page, 29, you'll see a breakout of the different buildings for the cost approach analysis. We've utilized this, I guess, just gives a visual of the effective age that we've utilized for each building. We've listed their actual age as well as the effective age that we're using in our cost approach.
Right, you'll notice the actual age on average is 26 years, and that's important because on page 30, this is a study that HCA puts together I'm sorry, this is a study that HTA had put together by Value Consulting, who is a national healthcare consultant group. They did a study to show essentially when hospitals across the country hit the replacement age. As you can see, it ranges anywhere from about 28 years to 45 years. But on average, about 20 of these hospitals needed to be replaced between on medium of 36 years. This property, as stated, it's currently at 26 years. So it's right in the range of needing to be replaced. And then obviously it's just short of the median age of replacement. But you'll see the Brooksville Regional Hospital, that was replaced 44 years. We have the Tavares Hospital, 45 years. Titusville Parish Medical Center, 45 years. And then over in Palm Coast, in Florida, in Flagler, Florida Hospital was replaced at 23 years. So we have a range in Florida of 23 to 45. And so this falls right in between that.
Okay.
And then on page 32 begins our cost analysis.
I was just going to mention on page 31, it's American Hospital Association, the Useful Lives and Depreciable Hospital Assets. It shows there highlighted bottom left-hand quarter, masonry of the building, reinforced concrete, 40 years life, and the subject property, four stories are 37 years. So it's coming up on that useful life of the subject property based off of the American Hospital Association 2018 edition.
Okay. And then beginning on page 33 is the cost analysis. You'll see that we've utilized the effective ages that were presented in the on the page prior throughout, and I'll skip through to the page 36 and 37, you'll see the totals. So on page 36, the total cost new of the structure was $90,472,159. And then we've also included the land and extra features from the property record card, which would total $99,711,589. Then with the physical and functional depreciation as well as external depreciation, which is for the economic obsolescence, that brings us down to $62,506,642.
Land value we utilized was based off the property record card of $7.2 million, and then the extra features of $2,039,000 is also obtained from the property record card, so we agreed with those numbers.
And then the detailed report follows from the Marshall and Swift report, so you can see building by building what each building was valued at, but it arrives at the same cost there.
Okay.
And then into our market support section on page 45, we've included additional resources and information about the economic obsolescence that occurred, as well as just COVID-related issues with hospitals.
Yeah, Mr. Steves, a lot of the comments that Sarah made prior, it was that page that had all the bulletins.
Mm-hmm.
I pulled it out. It was page 26 where we stated a lot of the COVID-19 expenses increasing, losses of hospitals. That's pretty much obtained from these market reports. We just summarized it on page 26 of our evidence. Essentially, that's where we're getting all that data from regarding how COVID impacted the hospital industry, and then estimated increases expenses. How long is this going to impact healthcare industry and things of that nature? So that's where all those bullet points and comments that we pulled on page 26 is being obtained from these market reports.
Okay.
And I believe that concludes, unless there's anything else.
To add. No, I do ask that you do run through these, this market support, Mr. Stevens, as I know you will, especially on page 53. This is a PowerPoint that Kaufman Hall put together, which is another, essentially another accounting firm, which was hired by the American Hospital Association, and they did a study, completed it in later part of 2020 to kind of forecast out the financial impact of COVID on the healthcare industry. And it goes through some pretty good data points. You know, it drives home on page 56 that margins, which were already thin at 3.5% nationally, are now going to go from a positive down to a negative margins, starting, you know, started in 2020, and it's forecasted to remain that way. So you'll have unstable levels of margins for hospitals moving forward due to this. And obviously, no one has a crystal ball to see, okay, well, this is going to be a two-year impact. Right now, the healthcare industry is assuming this is going to be a permanent impact of the virus, being that there's been what we're 11 months into the year following, we're still dealing with this impact nationally in different waves. So that's why they're still forecasting this impact to be negatively for a number of years. And that's I guess, all of our comments now.
All right. Thank you. Go ahead.
Okay. On their page one of their evidence, they show our 2020 value of over $54 million. And I just want to point out, if you add the 2020 finalized permit value that I had given previously of $21 million, that totals $75,559,754, which is above what we've even assessed them at for the 2021 tax roll. If you will turn to their page 27. One thing that is concerning to me is that their total ER visits have gone down, but when you go to the hospital, if you go to the ER, I know someone that was in and out of there a few weeks ago, you're actually outside in a tent. They have several tents set up because they're so overcrowded at the ER over there. I know at some point they were actually putting patients in their cafeteria because it's closed down to the public. So that's a little bit concerning to me, that would even be lacking. And another thing I looked at is I took their economic obsolescence of 12%, and I looked at the value that I came up with. And even if you put that total economic obsolescence in there, it my value is still above what we've even assessed them at. Okay. If you look on their page 28, so the $2 million to modernize equipment, I'm not sure if you're aware, Special Magistrate, but I'm also over the Tangible Personal Property Department. That would be tangible personal property. This is not real property. We do not assess any assets, furnitures, fixtures, equipment, specialty items, technology, anything like that within the hospital. It would be on the tangible personal property that they would be responsible to file for. As well as the water softener system, that would not be on the real estate. Also, I had mentioned at the beginning of my presentation about the entry roadway to the hospital. They are not going to be updating this roadway due to erosion from drainage. It's because there was an agreement made with the neighboring ALF and new subdivision that they would be closing that entrance and opening up a new one further down and moving the whole light that is at that entrance. Also, I want to point out that on the middle of page 28, it states census on the property indicates high capacity. The property operates at a higher occupancy, which suggests that the hospital needs more square footage to operate. I also heard the petitioner state that they don't have the capital or the time to handle some of the issues at the hospital, but what is heavily concerning to me is that they have been building, they're still building, they're not stopping building there, so they have the money and the time to do that, but yet they don't have the capital or the time to fix these supposed functional concerns, but yet they're operating at a high capacity. To me, it's all very contradictory. I'm definitely questioning it. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. And the only other thing I wanted to point out is that I did notice in the cost approach, it's not including any of the sprinkler systems in the building. And that is all that I have.
Okay. Does your cost approach have soft costs and entrepreneurial profit in there?
I don't believe so, but let me check.
While she looks, can I make some comments?
Go ahead.
So regarding the total ER visits, when talking with HCA, they said that was down because people were scared to go to hospitals due to COVID and the news saying it's pretty much everywhere in hospitals. So people stopped going to hospitals and went to all the walk-in clinics. I mean, I'm sure as you saw, Mr. Steve, you also have children. If you tried to go to one of these walk-ins, there's a line of 100 people out the door every morning, just about. So people started going to these walk-ins instead of the hospitals. Also, the property appraiser's comments regarding placing people, they couldn't place them into the rooms where they have surgeries and recovery rooms due to COVID protocols. So they had nowhere to put people that came in. So these rooms were still vacant due to COVID and health protocols by the CDC. So they had to come up with places to put all these patients that were coming in for COVID reasons. So that's the comment on that. As you can see on page 27, occupancy dropped 25% from year-end 2019 to year-end 2020 of the subject property. So that's one important factor. And then regarding the costs, that's their wish list. Obviously, HCA, they have money, but that's allocated from, they have over 200 hospitals. So it's not like they're going to say, oh, well, let's focus on this hospital at a time. They're trying to spread it out on a need basis. So they're not, it's more of a wish list on what they've been requesting from HCA's C-suite level to make that approval on. So those are items that need to be renovated and just not getting the attention from HCA that they feel is needed. And then Sarah, if you could mention on...
It does not.
Okay,
it
does
to
not.
Answer your question.
And then a few other comments on the PAs. If you apply the external obsolescence to the CAMA value that was enrolled, the 12% economic obsolescence to the CAMA value, that would equate to a value of $59,600,000 rounded.
Okay.
Which is the value we're here to contest. And then the PA provided financial statement from year in 19, which obviously doesn't take any COVID impact. There's no page number, but it's a page that ends in 9497. It was in the later part.
Yeah.
Regardless, it shows revenues of $277 million. We provided the revenue of the subject property of $209 million, so that's a 25% decrease in revenue that the subject property experienced,
okay.
Which is, once again, economic obsolescence issue.
All right, anything else?
No, sir.
That's good?
Yep.
Okay, let's conclude the hearing.